Yes, so good morning to you all. How's everybody been?
Marvellous.
Marvellous. Do you know how many people that I meet and then say, oh, no bad. All right. What happened with just being amazing?
Oh, any better I couldn't stand it, Johnny.
That's a brilliant
that's
one.
So true.
I like that
so
one. Any true. Better I couldn't stand
so
it.
So true.
Fraser, you've just taught me a new thing. Murren, what happens when somebody says, how are you, Murren?
Usually it's like, all right, I'm one of those people, you know.
But you can change, can't you?
When things are not all right, yeah.
But it's not bad, so he's not using a negative.
Exactly.
But it's still a double negative.
No, but if it was bad, I would still say it was all right. It's only if it's good, it'd be, oh, I'm good. You know?
But do you see the differences when you meet somebody, right? Because we've all got the ability to make somebody feel great. So if you say something that's completely out of the social expectation, people go, it's like a double, what? So I'm not saying you say this in the right culture, but you know, somebody said to me today at one of the networking, how are you? Orgasmic. And they're like, what? But you'll get a smile on their face because it's a bit of a laugh.
Truly.
I'm not saying you can go around saying that, you know.
To people you don't know, come on.
But it's they'll remember you as well. And then you calm the situation down. You'll be prim, professional, but also relatable.
Right.
So going around your world saying, no bad. Hi, all right. You're just like every other person. You don't want to be
so
like every other person.
There you go.
There you go. There's a tip of the day.
Take it. So we have today, Fraser McKee,
right.
Business Gateway.
Do we got a celebration?
Delighted. Let's see if we can find your celebration. Let's have a look.
Have you got a noise?
No, I've got noises, but we're pretty rubbish at them, to be fair. There we are.
Fraser McGee.
Yes.
Gun Rangers.
Yeah, my camera.
No religion, no football.
I knew that would get you.
No religion, no football.
And then we've also got Murren, who you've already met if you've been listening to the podcast.
Hello.
In high school. He's got a lot
Hello.
Of...
Hello. Yeah. There.
We've got a bit of a surprise with what you've got there hiding behind you that we'll get into later on. But
yeah.
Let's make a wee start with you then, Fraser.
Lovely stuff.
So we've worked with you for a long, long time through Business Gateway. There's a lot goes on with Business Gateway. And I was guilty myself at the start not really realising what you did in the sense of the scope of things that you can help businesses with. So from the start, you can just tell us all about that.
Boom. Right, so I've worked with Business Gateway for a long time.
When you say a long time?
So it's almost 20 years now.
Wow.
So that's between a few areas. I'd say mostly it's Fife. But the reason I started doing it, we very quick potted history. So I worked in a welfare to work organisation in Glasgow years ago. So you would get people furthest removed from the labour market trying to get them into work. And time again, you would come across primarily guys that had issues where you're looking at their CV and you're like, massive big holes in your CV, how's that? So you kind of work it back and it's like, so they've been in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So when they've come out, they've had limited kind of scope to work for somebody. And you get that this moment and you think, you could be your own boss. Because at the absolute core of it, they're highly entrepreneurial people.
Right.
They just went about it and sometimes it's slightly... I'm not looking at you, Johnny, specifically. they went about it sometimes in a slightly cack-handed way. But they had issues like they couldn't get insurance, they couldn't get a bank account, but they had all the skills and the contacts. So I kind of built up a wee kind of quorum of, right, so if I get X amount of money, I can make this work for you. So it moved somebody from being economically inactive to being starting their own business. So I did that and then worked for a couple of local authorities, worked for Business Gateway and just more or less kept doing that. So primarily, what do we do? What does Business Gateway do? We're there to help you start your business and we're there to help you grow your business. And everything kind of else in between. Totally sector agnostic. So if Murren's sitting with like a fashion label or a fashion business, Johnny's got a construction business, Mick's got something completely left field and off the wall. And it doesn't matter if you're in the top of Fife, the middle or the bottom, is it we'll deal with you. So we've got a big team of advisors, specialists in their area, specialist startup advisors, specialist growth advisors. So regardless of what you do and what your aspirations are, I'd also say that and I've done this with you two guys, is like, we're sometimes there to be your critical friend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And go, I'm not sure that's a great idea. But the importance of that is to qualify it and to go, here's why it's not a great idea. And here's how we can perhaps shape it and make it better.
Which
but
is
for me, you, and I can speak for the rest of the advisory team as well, because there's no such thing as new music. So you guys can bring us ideas as well. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of the advice, it's circulatory, is that the right word?
Right.
So we'll take from lots and lots of partners, because we don't work in isolation. We work with Scottish Enterprise, we work with local authority and Fife Council. So we take ideas from everybody else, and we're the kind of go-to person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and again, you guys will be positive of this. We're time poor, our biggest enemy is time.
Yeah.
So we need a huge, and you've both had experience of this,
yep,
a huge network of external people that we'll rely on. So we're kind of that wee conduit in the middle. So we'll sit, we'll listen, we'll shut up. Sometimes we're no brilliant at that. We'll take that on board. And then,
you're not the only one in the room.
Not looking at anyone in particular. And then take that and move it forward. So Fife is an area, it totally bats above the average. We normally do like 600 starts a year. The survivability rate's really, really good as well.
Right.
A lot of female entrepreneurs, a lot of rural, but it covers heaps and heaps of different sectors as well. So and every day is a school day. Absolutely. And most days, I wouldn't maybe quite say it was orgasmic to come to work, but it's pretty good.
Well, here's a deep, meaningful question.
Right, Johnny.
A lot of people ask this, right? And I ask this quite a lot of the time, but I really like to get the core of the person. Why do you do this job? Why do you? You've obviously evolved over the jobs that you've worked for before in the welfare facility and then into Business Gateway. But why do you do it? Minus the paycheck.
Minus the paycheck. So I come for a family of self-employed people.
Right.
Right. And when I was at university, I was a bit belligerent because I wanted to go to uni, but didn't necessarily have the funds to do it. So since I've been like able to stand and walk, my life has been anything in four wheels. So you're thinking, what am I good at? What can I do? So you're able to kind of fix stuff, and you're able to see something that you think's maybe worth £5,000, but you can get it for £1,000. So you kind of buy and sell your way through university in a legitimate way, I should say.
Yes.
Not in a dodgy way, right? So you're thinking, so you make mistakes, you make good deals, you make bad deals, you make money, you lose money. And you look at your family and you think, these guys are new wage slaves. They've got their ability. There will always be a man that you'll answer to.
Yep.
But they have the ability to make their own decisions, and that's attractive. So you think, could you put yourself in a position where you could find a nice balance between having a life where you've got a bit of continuity and you do something, which, all joking apart, you do get up 9 days out of 10 and you think, yes, let's go for it. Mm. You're not going, this is just purgatory. And that's why I do it. I get my jollies out of seeing guys like yourself go from this level to the next level to the next level. And I mean, that might sound a bit kind of altruistic, but genuinely, that's probably the biggest reason. And you still dabble, you'll still kind of buy and sell stuff, and you'll still advise members of the family. And that's fantastic as well, because you get to see them kind of like their lives evolving and getting better.
Do you go through your life getting the recognition that you deserve?
But do you do it for recognition?
What did I do? So there's an expression I heard years ago, which I really love. It's a praise junkie, right? I'm not a praise junkie as a person. Uh-huh. That if somebody says thank you, and credit to you guys, you always do. You're always really genuine and honest and sincere in that. Do we get the recognition? I think we do. I think that, and again, most people would appreciate this. The biggest problem you get is remembering the negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's a bit of they're just a nightmare to deal with, they're the ones you tend to remember. So you have to kind of put yourself mentally in a position where you go, do you know what? That wasn't so good. And, you know, that guy's reaction was a bit kind of, it put me in the back foot a wee bit. But you learn, you just accept it, you move forward. That's done then.
Yep.
You can't change it. You learn from it, you move on, you make yourself more resilient.
That's one of the big things that we talk about. With a lot of people that come on the podcast, they've always mentioned that. Building up their resilience, because they feel generational shift, there was more resilience. And, you know, guys like Murren, Danny, Alexander, Meyer, we can see there hopefully is going to be a bit of resilience in you, you know, because we look at your background, where you're coming from, where you are now, where you could possibly go, who can deal with the resilience better than anybody else. But when you're a collective, you've got that support. You can lean on each other. If I go back to where you're in your business career and with all the advisors you have, hopefully you can lean on each other help with that resilience factor as well to keep you pushing forward, you know?
We had a thing just recently with I had in the letting office to go and have a look at all the reviews that's been put up in Google.
Right.
There's been quite a few recently come up, but it is easy to get stuck in the negative stuff. Whereas actually, when you go and read these, you see just what a positive impact you're having on people's lives, and it'll be very similar.
And you forget it. Yeah, going back to what you're saying about the team of advisors, Johnny, sometimes, you know, you've got this, what is it you call it, like imposter syndrome sometimes?
Yeah, we've been talking about this.
Don't do that as well.
But it's, you so do, though, you get this imposter syndrome, and the advisor will come to me and say, right, so I'm thinking of doing this and this and that, and speaking to this person and that person with this intended result. And I'm like, that's brilliant. And they're kind of like, but do you think that's good enough? And I'm like, well, do you think it's good enough? Because I do. And I can pretty much assure you, is that your client, as we would refer to them, your client probably hasn't thought about that. So if you're bringing something new and a fresh perspective, you know, what's the worst that could happen?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing something. It's proactive. So taking it back to a beginning stage then. So Warren's here. He's looking to start his own business. Mm-hmm. He's coming to Business Gateway. What are the steps there at that stage for you? What are you looking for from Murren? And what should Murren be looking at from you just to get things off the ground if they've never ran a business before? You know, we're talking business plans or whatever that may be.
So that's a really interesting point, Mick, because I think a lot of people are put off initially, right for the word go, of starting or running their own business, because they just see this elephant in the room, yep, of the business plan. And I'm not entirely sure, in fact, I know for an absolute fact, many, many more businesses have been started without a business plan than have, mm-hmm, and things will just evolve from that point. If you have the nucleus of the idea and you have the drive and the determination to do it, and Johnny, you've already used the word resilience, which I think can be built in, mm-hmm, over the course of time, then those are the kind of key things I would be kind of looking for. From a kind of practical point of view, you would have like what we call PTS, planning to start. Mm-hmm. So I would say to you, right, Mum, we'll send you the link and you can go in here, and it's like a quick kind of questionnaire thing that you would go through, and it asks them the broad brushstrokes questions, but they're the type of things that everybody should do. So if you're doing this in Fife, you would be answering these questions, and it's no, there's nothing there to trap door you. It's not seeing like how clever you are or how kind of entrepreneurial you are. It's just kind of from a very, very early point, kind of making you aware, like, these are the kind of fundamentals that you're going to go through. So that would then go into like a big funnel, and then it would come. So if you did it in Edinburgh, we'd go to Business Gateway Edinburgh. If you did it in Fife, it would come to ourselves. So then that would go to an advisor, part of the startup team, and they would either give you a phone or give you an email or a Teams call and say, right, so we'll set a time, and we'll get a wee bit of don't panic about it, don't stress about it, you don't need to prepare heaps of stuff, because again, loads and loads of people think they need to be like suited and booted and sitting up straight in their chair and, you know, all prim and proper. That's not the case at all. So it's try to kind of reverse a stereotype a wee bit right from the start. So I'm really, really proud of everybody in the team Startup and Growth, because I think to a man and woman, they have this really, really clever ability to put people at their ease. So right from the word go, it's kind of just saying, right, so you tell me what it is that you'd like to do. So from the planning to start information, and then from the chat with the advisor, so this would be like a one-to-one chat. A lot of it was done, started during COVID over Teams and Zoom, but we're kind of seeing it coming back a wee bit more to like one-to-one, so you can look somebody in the eye, and you can look them in the eye as well. And again, those around the table will understand that. I think the digital element is good. It's practically good, because if somebody's up in St Andrews and we're in Glenrothes, HQ is, course, it sometimes works better. But that kind of physical interaction, the one-to-one, I think works better. And then for that point, we'll discuss things like cash flow, because knowing your numbers is a hugely important thing. Yeah. It's not about you being an expert in finance, but it's about knowing your numbers. We will talk about a business plan. We will talk about who's going to be doing what in the business. We will talk about what your goals and aspirations are, and we'll kind of start to kind of tease out and kind of milestones. So you would do this, you would do this, and you would do that. And it's like the old eating the elephant thing, right? You wouldn't eat an elephant all in one go. So it's kind of breaking it down into wee parts so that people don't get spooked and you don't get freaked out. Mm. You will notice I haven't even mentioned about money yet.
Aye, that's right? Really true.
So we'll get a lot of people saying, so is there any kind of startup grant? Now, sometimes there is, and sometimes there isn't. Sometimes you need a bit of cash to start the business. Sometimes genuinely don't. You just need that bit of direction, that bit of expertise, that bit of kind of guidance to say, right, Martin, if you do this, then you do this, and then you do this, you've got a far greater chance of success. Because what are we looking for? We're looking for people to start businesses, but we're also looking for people to sustain businesses.
Right.
So it's not all about just a quick hit. Right. Did Fife get 600 starts this year? Yes, they did. How many of those survived after a year or 3 years? So that's
that,
generally
what it's
about.
Like? Roughly, just roughly as a percentage, how many drop off?
So it would be more than 50% would still be there or thereabouts, which in terms of a national average is good.
That's quite say, it's not too bad.
So in terms of like where Fife consistently hits between 500 and 600 starts a year, the survivability rates are really good, which to be candid is good for us as well.
Yeah.
Because after a couple of years, so if Martin starts a business and it goes gangbusters and it's going great, so he would have that relationship with the startup advisor for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years' time, there would be that kind of point where it would go from that point from the startup team to the growth team. So there'd be an introduction to somebody in the growth team. So there's that kind of seamless, right? So we've done this, and that. And then you'd be on to the next stage of growth.
I think it's great because it also signifies to the councils, to the higher ACCI, that yous are creating value. You're bringing in taxpayers' money, because if a business starts and then brings an employer, it gets a backing from guys like yourself to help them. It gives you the kudos to go, we helped them. We're actually doing quite well. And this is back to recognition.
Mm-hmm.
People getting recognised for their efforts, whether it be in a business or it's a friend, is helping people. And that's what we're trying to do at the Business Babble as well. Just build a community, people, like-minded people. And, you know, I get a lot of help from Mike and Vickers, and hopefully they get something from me because we're different personalities. But if you bring more people into it, you're obviously going to help them if they're good guys. If they're dragging their heels and they're all negative, then there's only one way out that way.
Correct.
But I think that's, you know, being as direct as that, when you're seeing the potential of a startup, you're obviously having to score them on key metrics as well. Is their attitude right? Their behaviour? Do you think they've got the gumption? Do you think they've got that drive, that hunger, that desire? Or do you think they're just going to fall short of the first hurdle? We'll give it a punt.
And you
or
know,
we won't.
And that's going back to the resilience thing, Johnny. Because I remember the first time I told somebody not to start a business many years ago, and I lost sleep over it.
Right, okay.
Because I was like, am I doing the right thing here?
Mm.
Who am I to say that I don't think you should start the business? But, you know, you look somebody in the eye and you listen to them and you think, do you know what? I don't think here and now you've got the resilience. I don't think your approximation of what this is going to look like is a reality, right? You know, have you discussed it with your partner? Have you discussed it with your missus? Or they don't really want me to do it. You know, I'm thinking about remortgaging the house and you're like, and it's like big red flags.
Aye, yeah.
And so it goes back to being that critical friend. But then you say to somebody, do you know what? Just because you don't start your own business, you can still be entrepreneurial in an organisation. So it's not like you're completely throwing cold water over the idea. But I'd much rather be the kind of the good guy, but the bad guy at the same time and going, no, don't do this.
Aye.
Because then if they kind of look back, they'll go, that was actually not a bad call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing, because it's easy to take the easy route there and just let them dad on and make the mistakes.
Correct.
And, you know, lose the house. But at least you've got a strong enough personality to do it.
And that's so important. A strong personality. And we were talking about this, and I'm not going to get my soapbox about it, but it's the leadership.
There's a first for everything.
There's a first. No, I'm not. It's people I've got the misconception of a leader. They think they're the gaffer, they're the boss, everybody should be doing everything for them. It's completely the opposite. And it's maybe you're actually being more of a leader by giving them the hard truth, creating a path for them and identifying if it's the right person for that. That's what a leader's got to do. You're not there to be loved. You know, you want to be liked and all these kind of things, but you also have to give them the hard reality. This is the path going forward. I'll take the bruises, I'll take the blows, I'll take all the everything that goes wrong, I'll take the responsibility. But as long as you guys are all right and you're in check with my vision. And I suppose there's a little bit of crossover there when you're speaking to somebody new. You're trying to give them the hard reality of a leader, firm and fair, and being totally honest. I think that's so important.
It's nice to hear that, Johnny. It is a kind of fine balance between being that, sort of asking the difficult questions And as my missus is fond of saying, if you don't think you're going to like the answer, don't ask the question, right? So somebody asks you a question and you give them a response, and you can sometimes see them like physically like recoil. But they just kind of narrow their eyes and look at you as if to say, how dare you? Well, right. You asked the question. So I'm giving you a response on the basis of, this is my opinion, and my opinion is based on whatever it happens to be, personal experience or experience through another client or a previous situation. So, but the balance to that, though, is being that person who will give the honest answer, but also being that advocate for them as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes going, do you know what? I know it's a bit rubbish now, right? I know it's hard work. And I know you seem to be putting in all these hours and you're not necessarily seeing the rewards that you thought you would be getting at this point. So sometimes it's just being that, because we kind of tongue-in-cheek joke about it, you're almost a kind of pseudo-social worker.
Yeah.
People are just coming in and saying, please, I don't know what to do about this. Because their son, their daughter, their wife, their mum, their dad will say, that's a cracking idea, that's a cracking idea, that's a cracking idea. But they want somebody just to offload to.
Yeah.
And somebody that they're able to say, we've already used this expression earlier on the day about a safe space. Mm-hmm. Right? They want that safe space. And I'd like to think of us as that safe space. But there's no daft laddie questions.
Yeah.
So
some of the time, I.
Well, maybe be you, Johnny.
I always remember Vicky saying on the podcast, he said the hard truth, and he said if his son Brad came to him and said, I'm going to go and pop Idol, he said his son, he loves him to bits, but he says, you're tone deaf. There's no danger you're going on pop Idol. But a lot, as you've said, mum, dad, auntie, yeah, do it. You're amazing, you're amazing. The hard reality, tell the truth.
Do it.
Tell the truth, and you'll be rewarded for it later on.
Can I just ask, this is probably more directed towards you than the Business Gateway, but you say you've got 20 years experience working with businesses of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
What's stopping you from leaving and starting your own business, what knowing what you know at the moment?
Boom.
Mic drop.
What's stopping me doing that? Nothing really.
Why don't you?
Nothing really. I'm at a point in my life where the consistency of what I do is what I need.
Right, yeah.
Whereas if you were to zoom back in a Scooby-Doo cartoon style like 20 years, 30 years ago, that might have been slightly different. So I was still able to trade, still able to buy, still able to sell. Whereas now the situation is slightly different. But it's an excellent question. You will fight a lot of your advisors. We've got a kind of mix of what I would call books and advisors, so they're employees. We also have contractors. So within the contractors team, they'll work in Fife, but they'll also work in other areas of Scotland. So is there anything to stop them going and working in other areas? Not really, but I see that as a positive thing.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because if you're there for 20 years, and no offence to you, you're at a stage after the 20 years where you feel like you still got loads of fight left in you and you don't care about consistency. There's nothing stopping you from going and doing, you know, you've learned X, Y, and Z from hundreds of people. You could become, you know, the ultimate businessman. Like, you could start your own business and you'll understand. You know, you can look at it like...
See what I did there?
Well, there you go. You could look at it like you're doing your job for your own company, and you can weigh up the decisions like, oh, this isn't going to... And you can be tough on yourself, and maybe that's hard for some people to do, but... Mm-hmm. I think if you have enough experience, that working for the Business Gateway could be the way for you to build knowledge and experience that you need to start your own business down the line. It just seems to make sense to me.
I'm sure there's people do that as well, though.
There are
people that move on.
You get when you tell people what you do, they're kind of like, "All right," and they're like, "What's the best idea you've ever heard?" And again, you're in that kind of privileged, you're in that privileged position.
Yeah.
Where, and I will say, in the literally thousands of businesses that I've supported over the years, it's probably definitely the case that it's a slender minority where you go, that's an absolutely drop the mic, just like absolutely amazing idea. And the reason I say you're in this privileged position is because you've got somebody sitting across a table from you or a screen away from you, and they trust you implicitly.
Yeah, yeah.
they trust you implicitly. So that goes for all the advisors in the team as well. Because everybody that's in the team, everybody that I work with, I would happily have a conversation. So see, if I had that kind of moment, I thought, and you were one of my advisors, I would happily discuss it with you without fear of them going, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to nick that idea.
That comes into that professional integrity as well.
It does.
Because good and bad follows you around. Mark my words, whatever you're like as a child, and I say this at the schools, whatever you're, if you're the bully in school, the arrogant one, it tends to catch up with you, whether you're winching a boy or a girl, and then you want to get that job with that business, and it seems to be the dad. You're like, are you more likely to get the job because you were a twat at school? To their daughter or son, says it will bite you back in the bum. Mm-hmm. It will bite you. It always, karma has a beautiful way of coming back and giving you a slap. But then goodwill has a way of showing up again, as well over a period of time.
And it's, I mean, imagine the reputation of Business Gateway if that's what was happening. You know, just it wouldn't exist.
That's true.
It absolutely wouldn't exist. And I'm using Fife as the local example, but there's another 31 Business Gateways that went from bread to the country, and all the advisors have got that level of integrity and that level of trust. But if you've got somebody to start up or growth stage, is that they've got this, as soon as they walk through the door, whether it's physical or digital, they're kind of like, right, I get this. Again, going back to the safe space thing, there doesn't seem, they don't have to sell themselves and like, okay, Business Gateway is a brand to be trusted.
Yeah.
So we've got a little lead in here then, because we've got a young business. So those who have been listening to the podcast will know that we've done a mentoring program for Queen Anne High School. We've got four young entrepreneurs and we've split them into two teams. Mm-hmm. We've set a task to start up a business, and I'll let Murren fill you in on what they've done.
Right. So yeah, our task was to set up two clothing brands and compete with each other to see who could make the most profit by a set period. And myself and Danny, who's the girl that I got paired with, I've been working on creating a brand that inspires confidence, meets a premium market at a more affordable price than 80 quid for a hoodie, for example.
Okay.
But mainly we're trying to sell the statement, not just, well, obviously we're trying to sell clothes, but we're trying to sell the statement and the mindset. And once you buy an item from us, you're buying into the mindset, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you see companies like, I guess Apple is sort of the main inspiration there, because once you've bought an Apple product, you're into their ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
We want a similar thing, but look at it like a state of mind instead. So yeah, we're competing with Alexander and Maya, who are the other two. They've gone down a gym wear, fitness wear sort of route. And personally, of course, I think our stuff is much better. But,
okay. like this.
I like it.
But
ballsy.
You know, I'm not gonna chat rubbish. It's not about the competition at the moment. This came to me on Tuesday. So we were at BNI on Tuesday morning, The one in Carnegie. We were lucky enough to be invited along by Johnny just to see sort of what it was all like, how it runs, and hopefully make a few friends while we're there. You know, people that might be able to help us out down the line.
Great.
And I realized after giving my pitch and hearing some of the feedback from people that the competition actually didn't matter at all to me or Danny. What mattered was these people had an expectation based on the pitch that we gave. And the important thing was meeting that, you know, like it dawned on me that we could sell less than Alexander, but as long as I know that what we're selling is what we're promising.
Mm-hmm.
And we're delivering on everything that we say we want to deliver on, then I can sleep at night, you know.
Good.
So I have my samples here.
Just delivered. review.
Yeah, they've just come, like literally. When did you pick them up?
Yeah, it came in last night.
Well, there you go. Last night. We're going for, if I can get it out of the bag, bloody hell. Pack them in tight. Jesus. Right, there we go. So you can have a look at that one. You can have a look at that one.
Let's get it up on the screen here. So if I go here, let's get a look at it. So just tell us a bit about what the brand Stand
is. Right, so Stand is the name of the brand, obviously. Stand is the statement. So The reason we...
Yeah, it's good.
It's smart, isn't it? I really like that design. The reason we picked Stand as the name is because it's powerful. You know, it's making a statement. It's something that... It's literally exactly what we want to sell. And we can print Stand Out on the back or Stand Whatever on the back. And it's got power and it's got meaning. We want to inspire that confidence in people who are buying from us. So our hoodies reflect the sort of minimalistic trend whilst, you know, showing off that, I mean, grey on grey, I'll admit, pretty standard colorway that most people have seen before.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea was to get the design sort of across and show it can be worn with basically anything. But it still stands off. You'll notice the dark grey on the light grey is not subtle. And that's sort of the idea. We want it. We want the clothing and the brand sort of message, the sort of confidence, don't be scared to be yourself sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
to merge into one. But these hoodies are honestly top notch. Having felt them...
quality is good, I have to say.
Yeah, before we started filming, because quality was a huge promise that we made at the BNI and to basically everyone that we've spoken to about it. We wanted to promise that we were going to be delivering on this quality. And when I felt them out the bag just there, about half an hour ago, I was like, we're definitely delivering on this promise.
So is that what the quality meant to you, man? It was the tactile touch feel as well as the look? That
yeah, of course. I mean, you don't want a rubbishly terrible built hoodie that's going to break apart in three washes. This is something that, as I'm sure you can feel, feels like it's going to last you a long time. Stitching solid, printing solid, everything on it solid. And quality is a big part of our identity. Like, we want people to look at us and know that they're not buying some cheap rubbish that's going to, like from Primark or something like that, that's going to last them 5 minutes. We want something that's, I guess you could put it like an investment piece.
Mm-hmm. A signature piece.
Yeah, like something that you know you're buying for years to come, 2 or 3 years, maybe longer. And you're confident in it and it's going to look consistent. It's not going to shrink, which is the reason we chose printing over embroidery, because it might have messed up the fabric, but it's not going to be tarnished or anything like that over the years. It's going to be consistent, almost like you bought it brand new just last week. And once I felt the quality, yeah, I wasn't going to sell something that I didn't think met our expectations, you know.
Excellent. Can I ask, why Stand? Why was that word used?
That's a good question. But it's because Stand, we obviously had a list of about 100 names when we were initially coming up with the brand.
Okay.
And we were running through them and we had a rough idea of where we wanted to go with it. We wanted it to be powerful and we wanted it to be a statement. But Stand stood out to us because you hear it every day. Stand out or stand up or stand tall or stand firm or stand proud, whatever you like.
Stand free.
Stand free. Mm-hmm. It's certainly to Danny and I, when we first started it, inspirational, motivational.
Did you both agree at the same time?
Well, actually what we did was we had narrowed the list down and then Stand was like, because we had other ones that we were, I don't know, I guess pretty happy with as well, but, the more we thought about it, the more we heard it and we sort of envisioned it on clothing and like envisioned people talking about it, because you can't have a brand name that sounds stupid. You know, it sort of stuck with us more. And then it literally dawned on me while I was talking to my mum and she said, Marin, you need to design your clothes to stand out. And then I was like, I had my moment.
That's one of the moments.
I was like, oh my God.
That's it.
It's been right in front of us this whole time. And then that was... Yeah, it was just one of those things where, you know, you hear it every day. Sort of, you can sort of look at it like it's free marketing, if you like. People are saying our brand name every day.
Correct.
But really, it's powerful. It was definitely powerful to Danny and I. And the more we think about it, the more powerful it becomes, the more of a statement it is to us. So. And
pitched unashamedly at the kind of the more premium end as well.
Oh, 100%. Like I said, I wouldn't be selling something if these had come back, and this is 100% honest. I'm not just saying this because for the sake of saying it. If these had come back and I had thought, that's rubbish, I don't want to sell that, or this quality is not what I was hoping for, I wouldn't sell it.
And how did you guys determine like who was going to buy your product, right? To me, page one, chapter one, you guys have heard me say this, is there a need for the product or service?
We believe so. So the people we're trying to compete with, the quality brands charge a lot of money. And personally, I sit in the target market for these brands. They're selling minimal streetwear that can be worn with anything. And you look at it and you think, damn, that's a versatile piece. That's mm-hmm. smart. I can wear that sitting on my couch. I can wear that in the gym. I can wear that on a run. I can wear that doing this or that. But they're expensive. They don't really mean anything. And honestly, I just don't see why I would want to buy one. You know, like, yeah, they're smart and sure, they feel nice. Mm-hmm. But can I excuse putting aside 80 quid or whatever it is for a Represent hoodie when I'm not associating myself too much with that brand? That, again, coming back to the stand, Represent is like, yeah, sure, I'm representing the hoodie, but it feels more like I'm representing the brand.
The brand,
it exactly. says on the thing, Represent, whereas stand is supposed to be more about yourself and more personal.
Great answer.
And they can change up. So that was one of the things is, mm-hmm. you know, you can, it stands, obviously the logo there, but they're changing it up with a different second wording that's going to go in there. So
oh,
they,
100%.
You know, and it's interesting as well, like, you know, every entrepreneur has been there where you're at the stage where you're trying to come up with this idea. And then when you do, when that light bulb moment clicks and there's a vision, you can start to, you've suddenly seen big picture stuff happening there. And that's the bit I love about it all.
That manifestation thing yeah. mm. becomes a big cheesy American word, but when you actually get involved in business, you start going, huh, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
To everybody else, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But when you're in the mix of it, you go, oh yes, that makes sense to me. You know, I think it's a great idea, and it was brilliant seeing you and Danny coming up with the idea that even in the workshop, well, not the workshop side, but when you were chatting amongst yourselves, I'm having a great laugh.
Mm.
I'm thinking, this is brilliant. And the fact that you are collaborating together, you know, yeah, with people important. That don't really yeah. talk to each other as such. I know you and Alexander knew each other,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you mentioned that through the mentorship, that you spoke to people that you would never really normally talk to. And it's a sign when you're in your business journey, you're going to have to speak to certain people. And we've done that with the printers. You went out to speak to the printers, the clothing brand guys, the networking. And I will say this, it's not blowing smoke up your backside. Every single person we've spoke to has said, what an amazing job you've actually done. That's without showing your product.
Mm.
Because people buy the person.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the product. And what you've done is you've delivered a great pitch. You've had confidence. You've shared that. And a lot of business owners that are going into the marketplace and doing networking, they're very nervous and they find it hard to stand up and talk. He's absolutely genuinely nailed it. If your mum and dad seen you, they would be so proud of you. He's done so well, so well.
Can I ask, what did you find? Obviously, your partner's not here, so I can't ask Danny. What did you find the most challenging bit of this process to this point?
Honestly, I've got to be honest. It might not seem like this on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
but the B&I was probably top three scariest things I've ever put myself
good for up you, to. Well done, mate.
Well done, mate. I'm not in the slightest bit surprised.
Yeah, no, like I've done a lot, so that says something, but I knew that if I had mucked up the pitch or not been confident enough, I could potentially be missing out on huge opportunities that were right there waiting for me to, you know, grab by both hands.
You know, you can make mistakes. People actually are a bit more endeared to you if you make mistakes. As long as you own it, if you own a mistake,
authentic.
Yeah, just be that. You be yourself. But yeah. Honestly, I've seen adults. I think I've sent a message. There's been adults, business owners, turn up to these meetings and they cannot get up and do what you've done. Like there was a one I went to, and it was actually his wife had to keep coming every week to get up. Yeah. He just couldn't do it. And to be fair, the growth of him and that networking was, you know, within a year, he was then, you couldn't shut him up. So his individual growth, but going to these networking meetings was really nice to see. But you absolutely nailed it, honestly, first time around.
And, you know, because because you guys will definitely know this, and now you've had that first-hand experience, which is just fabulous, is that the buck will stop at you.
Aye.
So to be in that position and to ride that out and to be able to kind of like feel the flex when you've actually done it is a hugely powerful thing. So regardless of what you do, whatever kind of path life takes you, putting yourself in that environment is massive, and
growth, you'll learn from it, growth,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's loads and loads, like Michael saying, more business owners than not, that's probably their biggest fear. They know their product, they know their service, they know their market, they know their pricing, they know their numbers, but put them in front of a room of people and it's just like, gee whiz.
I mean, yeah.
He's in absolute fear.
Yeah, we were stood in a room of...
Oh, 30 people there, huh?
We were, yeah, stood in a room of people who own and operate their own businesses and do so successfully, certainly by my standards. And, you know, I think part of me was afraid that I would stand up there, give the pitch, and then hear that, oh.
And stand down.
Yeah.
Put that on the top.
Stand down, exactly. But no, I just said to myself before I stood up that being nervous didn't have any benefit to me in the moment. Like being afraid didn't do me any justice. So I stood up, said what I needed to say. Danny did as well. We sat down, got speaking to people. And after seeing that these people were impressed with what we'd come up with, but also us, it motivated, but it was like, I don't really know what the word I'm looking for here is.
Right.
I was proud.
Yeah, good.
Me well as well. Rightly so.
Yeah.
I think one of the things when we speak about, or we've spoken before you go into networking, some of the things that you need to be aware of, and we talk about this all the time in the podcast, about turning up, being dressed, and these are all the basics, being dressed, being smartly dressed to a point, all still being authentic, make sure you've got mint of breath, the amount of people are, speak to come out like, oh my God, you've just licked the toilet before you came in here. But it's, you know, it's judgments you're getting within reason, but just being confident, taking the next step forward, but being interested. We talk about that all the time. Being interested in another person is interesting. Mm-hmm. So then they get that good feeling that, God, they've just asked so many questions about me and showed an interest. It's hard for them not to like you. And I think a lot of people go in there just hunting for work. People get turned off by that. But you, honestly, again, you did tremendously well. You know, a lot of respect for you. And you know what? That's the first one you've done. You nailed it. Next one, we'll get you along
to
more.
It does get easier. Especially when you start to get to know everybody a bit better as well. But it is like the finger of death. Huh?
Oh,
as it comes
your time, you're like,
and if you're not prepared, if you just turn up and try and wing it,
like
that's
today.
Worse. Very much like today.
You're not reading the OQ.
That brings us into our next segment. But no, so see you now, you've heard what's going on there. What's your honest opinion?
So,
in the sense of it all.
To be fair, though,
just as a bit of context, we did obviously set the parameters here, so it's not like there's an idea of a business that's they've come to us with. We've set the parameters, so that's why we've ended up with clothing and stuff like that, because we've obviously had a wee bit of a plan and a route that we're going to go down with it. So there's some restrictions in what they've been doing, but they've done really well with what they have done, I think. But
so I'd suggest that I think it's okay to have parameters. It's like when I was asking about, you know, who buys your product, who's going to put their hand in their pocket for £80 for the hoodie. I think that's important, but it's all very well setting the parameters, but you guys have clearly taken, right, so here's the wireframe, how do we make this work for us? Because it has to be something that you guys are capable, confident and willing to stand up in front of a room of people like at BNI and be proud of what, even before you physically got a tangible product. So if you can paint in those people's minds and images, this is what this is going to look like. That's massively powerful. Mm. So I think to have done that is great. I think loads and loads of people don't do that. So kudos to both of you, well, to all of you for do that. My question would be, having gone through that process initially, is this something that you would potentially think, right, well, what could we do with this? How could we take this to the next level? Has that been a thought in your head?
Of course, because I sit within the target market for my own hoodie. And I can see myself buying it. I've showed designs to loads of people and I've yet to have negative feedback, especially when I tell them the price point afterwards. But I want to expand. There's a storyboard, I don't know if that's the right word, a mind map maybe, of potential future routes. But in order to achieve where we're trying to get to, something like the BNI, we need, well, something like the BNI or something similar would be the best way in my mind, because connections at the moment, especially after the BNI, how much feedback we got, how many people we're now in touch with. Mm-hmm. And that was just one, you know, thing. Yeah. I think that the connections that we make are going to be the key to pushing onwards. I mean, hoodies aren't the only thing we're going to sell. We have t-shirts and hopefully joggers in the mix as well. But beyond that, you know, everybody, you know, t-shirts, hoodies and joggers, or t-shirts, hoodies and joggers. We could do more than that. And we could do variations of the design. We could do X, Y, and Z. We could ship across the UK. We could do whatever. But a lot of the questions and hopes that we have right now are inhibited by our relatively small networks.
Okay.
So in order for us to grow, and believe me, we definitely have an idea of how we want to, we need to, you know, suck it up a little bit more. Like, well, that's a horrible thing to say, but, you know, stop being nervous and stop being a wuss and get on with going to meet more people and putting ourselves out there. Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're even aware of that at this stage, though,
it's like there's so many people that are not. Took the word out of my mouth, Johnny. It's like you're minty fresh breath again now. It's refreshing as well.
That's lovely. Just brushed it before I came in.
I'd say, because sometimes you meet people for the first time, and they've got a kind of log jam which they either can't see, or they're maybe just not willing to accept that it's there. So what I would say to them, I say, look, have a wee think. What's the things that are keeping you awake? What's the things that wake you up at 4 and 5 in the morning? What's the things you could be good at if you've got 50 things to make this go from concept stage to being able to sell? Of those 50 things, what's the 5 things that's given you the anxiety?
Yeah.
So if you've done what I would say, like, almost the hard yards of standing up and being able to kind of project what the vision is, have a wee think about what your next steps would be. The 45 other things I'm less concerned about, but the 5 things, focus in on that, laser focus in on that, and then the 45 other things will just kind of come together after that.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And if we do see your hoodies being sold in America, how proud would we be anyway?
Oh, no, I thought we were talking about the money side.
We'd be very, very proud.
Very proud. Yes. Proud of all of you for the whole journey, for the mentorship, from the 200 students, the 30 years of it, put the 58-second video in, then the workshop, then to 17, because it was only meant to be 10, got through to the interview stage, but they were that, honestly, Fraser, they were that great. 17 of them come through, and we would have taken more, but it's just like, this is the maximum number. And then from the 17 at the interview, again, we thought it was a shoo-in after the first view. All right, that'll be it. But then everybody are like, wow, these are all good. Down to you 4 guys, and I look forward. You see how we've got a 12-week journey? It has to be a little bit longer. It has to be a little bit longer. But once it's finished, we'll always be here for you. You know, in a year's time, we'll always still be here. You'll be part of the journey. Mm. We'll always be here for you. But you could take that and, you know, you could be in America, as Mike said. We'd be so proud of you.
I'm just going to make one quick observation. Is like, so I don't do it so much now, unfortunately, sincerely, is that you used to get into primary schools and secondary schools for enterprise weeks and the like of that. And one thing that struck me right almost for the word go was the kind of like the ballsiness of youth. They're like, well, how can that not work? Right.
And
I think, as we get older, you start to lose it. You think, oh, that'll no happen. That can't work. We can't do that. And you're like, well, why not? Why can't you do it? So the impetuousness of youth, right, even if it's P4, P5, P6, going up to, you know, through secondary school, I think, you know, harness that. I'd like to think we would be there to do it. You've got organisations like the King's Trust, which is used to be Prince's Trust, to help along that journey. But that's a powerful thing.
Mm.
In fact, like, why can't it work?
See, that's interesting, because based on conversations that I've had with people around my school and in my year group, what we are doing, realistically, anybody could do. You just have to, you know, get up and do it.
No, but the
people think that it's unachievable what they want to do, or, oh, it's unrealistic, we can't make it happen, so it doesn't happen. But then the people that actually get up and you know, it's a bit cliche because everyone says this, but the people, it's true, the people that actually get up and decide, you know what, I'll give it a go. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Correct.
But then, that is a difference, mate. And that's even from the assembly, that's a difference there, because there'll be people in the assembly that would have loved to have done all this and then just didn't even put the video in. You know, that early stage.
I've spoken to at least 20 people who said, oh yeah, I was going to put a video in, but I just didn't think I'd get in, so I didn't do it.
So don't do it.
The biggest thing in life is taking action.
Yep, absolutely.
Action. And we talk about mindset, the mindset of what voice is in that head of yours every single day, even when it's tough and it's hard to get up at 5:30 in the morning. It's hard, but there's something inside you that keeps you motivated, keeps you driving. It might be monetary value, maybe protecting your family, your kids, maybe helping your mum, your dad, whatever it may be. But there's got to be a why. And I'm a great ambassador for searching for the why and finding why. And I think it's on average about 7 times you ask it, hey, but why are you doing it that way? Why? It becomes a bit of annoyance, but it drives you on, because there's always a reason why you're doing things. Whether you're taking a left turn or a right turn, there's always a reason. And it's finding that why. So I wish you all the best of luck with it. Absolutely. I really do.
I think there's definitely something there.
And I would, just a last shout out as well, if this is where we're going to wrap up, thank you, Fraser, and Business Gateway, because you've genuinely helped us. I know we've got our own businesses, but this is a business itself.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a lot of money to try and get all this gear, as you've seen, because I think a lot of people don't realise what we've actually got. It's an active studio in here.
It is, and it's all the camera highly system. Professional.
Oh, you know, I would. It's all mic. It's all mic. But this is the aid of Business Gateway, one for listening to us, listening to our concept, listening to our idea, and then talking to all the various people that you've had to talk to try and help us. And you've helped us massively. Genuinely, you've helped us massively in creating this, because this is now being able to give us a chance to evolve and then getting the school involved, because it costs us money.
Yes.
We're not getting anything from it. It's costing us money to give these guys an opportunity, and hopefully we've got more opportunities to come. And now with the education we're hopefully giving you, you'll educate somebody else with it, and it's passing it on all the time. So big shout out to Business Gateway and Fraser McGee.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, mate.
Indeed. And we'll finish off with,
this is your world.
Shape it.
Or someone else will.